It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Footballistically Arsenal. I'm Boyd Hilton. He is Josh Landy, Daddy Bear Josh Landy.
Indeed. Still, we are 2 weeks and a day in, and all going quite well so far, Boyd.
Good. Although rumour has it that your baby daughter did shit on the carpet. Is that fair?
She did a projectile shit on about day nine onto the carpet, and I must say, my wife is very rare to go with swear words, but
really,
it was a mighty F word in the middle of the night, which did alarm me. I was sort of relieved actually in the end that it was just our new carpet that's been permanently stained.
Maybe she was listening to you on this podcast.
No. I mean, I never knew. You don't quite know what to do, do you? People say, "Oh, get a bit of salt, baking soda, water." I mean, we covered most of our bedroom in baking soda, and it didn't seem to have any massive impact. There was still a huge stain. But there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, we'll have a little baby daughter update at the beginning of every podcast, I think, from now.
Congratulations, anyway.
Yeah, that's the sound. That's the sound there. The unmistakable sound of Dan Roebuck, voice of Arsenal, as I like to call him, who has been the voice of Arsenal tonight. You are fresh from commentating on the game, on the Southampton Arsenal game for the Arsenal website.
Correct. That is true. Yes. Very enjoyable as well.
Can I ask Dan, because this is so interesting. Dan's obviously used to being in the stadiums and has been doing it from home tonight. How hard is it for you? Because you haven't even got Nigel, your co-commentator, next to you. So he's remote as well. How have you found it?
It's been a bit of a challenge. And tonight, those millions who were listening in were witness to my internet connection dropping out for a minute.
The
second half, which is the first time that it's happened. And we've been covering the games like this since Project Restart, so that was way back in June. So I've actually only been to one Arsenal game since Project Restart, and that was the pre-season friendly against Milton Keynes, in which I was told to cover from the ground, which was great. But obviously, it is difficult, and this is not just Arsenal, it's across a lot of club channels. There's only a certain amount of people you can let into the ground. So therefore, this is how we're covering it. And by and large, it's worked quite well. I do a lot of off-tube commentaries anyway. So in terms of the job, it's not a disaster. It's never as good as being there. As you know, when you're sat in your seats, when you're watching games, you see so much more than just what the television director gives you. So that's all that we get. And generally, the communication, although we had an issue tonight with my internet, generally it's been pretty good. So it's a challenge to a certain extent, but it's not that bad. And I hasten to add that if you were doing a game from off-tube at someone like BT or Sky, an awful lot of the time, your co-commentator is in a different studio to you, different voiceover booth to you. So it's, even if you were going into somewhere to do the game rather than at home as we're doing it, it would be something similar. So it's what an awful lot of commentators have got used to this year.
Did you and Nigel Winterburn think that in the first half, when Lacazette was, I would say, grappled with by their defender and had a penalty shout, which was deemed not a penalty by BT Sports referee, pundit, expert, whoever that was, and Martin Keown. And I thought that was very, very quick to be dismissed. I thought it was a penalty.
I thought it was a penalty. Nigel thought it was a penalty.
Oh, good.
Because the was it Vokins? The I can't remember.
Vokins. Yeah.
His arm was sort of linked right on and hooked round.
Yeah.
And then there was also a tiny bit of contact with it with the feet as well. I thought that was clumsy. I thought that was a penalty. I mean, we're sort of bound to say it to a certain extent because we are Arsenal. But
no, but he was all over him. Vokins was all over him.
I thought it was a penalty.
What was funny on the BT sport coverage, Josh, do you remember who the referee expert was they have on?
Is it Peter Walton?
Peter Walton.
Not to be confused with Kent Walton.
Right. Peter Walton watched the replay and he went, this is a really good angle. You can see clearly there's no contact. And I'm like, it was a terrible angle.
I thought you could not see at all. I thought it was a pen.
It was a penalty. It was weird. Anyway, the bigger, what I was going to start with by asking you, because debate rages on Twitter right now, because I tweeted saying I think tonight's result justifies Arteta's team selection in the cup on Saturday. And my reasoning is this. Josh is already shaking his head. My reasoning is this. A, the team he picked on Saturday, I know it included players that have now become effectively the B team, you know, Pepe's and Williams and all of that. But not so long ago, they were the A team. And it's not like they're not experienced, you know. In theory, I mean, we'll get on to individuals later, but the team, it wasn't like he played a completely, you know, a team of kids, you know, that we've never heard of before or anything like that. It was an entirely recognizable team of, in theory, perfectly decent professional footballers, right, who have played consistently this season. And all right, we lost narrowly, and tonight we've advanced up to eighth in the league. I know teams around us have got games in hand, but we're eighth in the league. We're 4 points off Liverpool. Right. And for me, advancing up the league is much more important than another win in the FA Cup. We've shown we're a cup team. We know we're a cup team. We've been a cup team for the last, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years. We know what we can do in the cup. It's the league that counts, doesn't it? Don't you think?
I would agree. I mean, I said ahead of the Southampton FA Cup game that at this stage of a cup competition and the FA Cup, the league is more important. When you start to get to quarterfinals to semifinals, you can swing it around just in terms of one individual game. But I thought that this game was more important. There's only 5 changes from the weekend. I think the key thing about the game at the weekend was that Southampton went very strong. They were stronger for that game than they were for the game tonight. Now, that's been a bit disingenuous because obviously their first choice fullbacks were both missing tonight, and you had 2 players who were making their first Premier League starts of the season tonight in Valerie and Vokins, and Vokins looked a little bit out of his depth, although he was in the same England under-19 side as both Saka and Smith Rowe a few years ago, so you can see how they've progressed and he's not so much. But they picked a strong team at the weekend. Arsenal were a little mix and match. I thought that Mikel Arteta made the perfect choices and could have been different against Southampton. If they'd have gone a little weaker at the weekend, it might have been different. But I'm not unhappy about how the two games have transpired. Yeah. I don't think in the end.
No. Josh, you were shaking your head, but stand back from it a minute, wouldn't it be... I wasn't in the remotely surprised by his team selection on Saturday. I'm vehemently, you know, opposed to Willian ever playing ever again for Arsenal. But, you know, bearing in mind you've got to arrest certain players like Emile Smith-Rowe, who's very young. He can't play every single game, you know. Then it was inevitable, wasn't it, that he was playing some of those other players that kind of played in the bad period this season. And B, 2 games in 4 days against the same team, away against the same team, Southampton, playing the same 11 in 2, it would have been just weird, wouldn't it? Picking the same players. I don't think any other team in the league would have done that. You don't get. And it was really, it was kind of weird that Southampton picked their strongest team in the cup as well. So those were my various reasons for thinking that Arteta was perfectly justified in his team selection.
No, I do feel the other way to you both on this, I think, with the league position that we're in. And I know we've gone and won again today and we're on this remarkable, you know, title-winning form, frankly, in the last 6 games. To take 16 points is absolutely brilliant. But we are still in a extraordinarily unlikely situation to make the top four, and it is going to be very tough to make, you know, the top six. Look, if we beat United and we win some of these very tough games coming up, maybe we'll all start to feel a little bit differently. But I don't know, we've got such pedigree in the FA Cup, and to just go and look at that team and be like, you know, it's Eddie Nketiah who, you know, I don't think is going to ever be a first choice Arsenal striker, and I don't think is ever going to be hugely exciting to be the option that comes off the bench. Martinelli, who has had so little game time, and obviously he had a little setback since he's come back. You know, Willian, who has just been a huge disappointment. I just wondered where we were going to get enough goals and be enough of a goal threat, especially with obviously Aubameyang supposed to travel and not able to. I just would have wanted to see Lacazette start the game. And I don't know with Smith Rowe. I'd possibly put this game as slightly more significant. Of course, once you get to the quarterfinals, semifinals, we've seen a very strong team done in recent years. But you kind of have to get there. And I just thought this was a good opportunity to do so. And it as soon as you saw the lineup, you thought, well, it's really clear where the Arteta priority is. And I don't know, if we end up in the top six of the league, we'll all go, it was worth it, good decision. More important to get the 3 points against Southampton. I'm just not sure I quite believe that we will at the minute.
I thought the draw might have been factored in. It's Southampton away and then it's Wolves away. That you know, you're if you're plotting a route through to a quarter final, you've got to win two, you know, tough games away from home against more than competent Premier League sides. I think that might have been a factor.
And what if, what if we'd lost tonight? Think about that, though. What if we'd lost, you know...
No shame. If we've
No shame, but we're on a great run of form in the league, right? And then you lose it suddenly, and we've got Man United on Saturday, and you're then potentially into another little mini crisis period, aren't you? You're down back to 11th, 12th. I don't think people quite realise that, how, you know, we were 11th again before the game tonight. And, you know, we've got a tough run coming up, right? We've had a decent... I just think it's very short-sighted to think that this game we could have played tired. I thought we looked really vibrant and fresh tonight. And I don't think it's any coincidence that those five players came in and were much more... And I thought Southampton looked a bit knackered. And I know all these things are, you know, with the benefit of hindsight and everything, but I don't know. Bottom line is, those players you were talking about, even Nketiah, remember, Nketiah was actually starting quite a lot of games in the league, wasn't he? Admittedly, in the terrible run. When Lacazette was off form, he started a few games. It's not unknown that Nketiah starts games in the league.
There's no question which was prioritised. And
yep.
Ultimately, Arteta must have been happy to take the scenario that we've transpired into.
Final point on this, don't you think, Dan? I don't think Arteta would have thought that team that he picked against Southampton in the cup was inevitably going to lose. I think he picked that team thinking we can scrape through this with this team.
I think he thought that it's a team he put out to that could win the game. I think everyone was surprised with the Southampton lineup, given what they did against Shrewsbury when they played an awful lot of... I mean, they were playing the likes of Ulundilu, who came on tonight. They played an awful lot of players that hadn't played before. And okay, that was, I don't know what league Shrewsbury in, I think League One or League Two. But either way, you think, well, if that's how he's treating the cup, I think... I think he got it right. I think it was later down the line in the cup it would have been different, which states the obvious. But I think the Wolves thing in the background, I just think, you know, that team could have won the game. It didn't. It was a poor game all round. They were better. Tonight, Arsenal were much better. And you're right, I thought Arsenal looked fresh. First 45 minutes was great. Second 45 was always going to be different. Obviously, the scoreline dictated that as much as anything else. But coaches changed things after, you know, a game where there was so much open football. But, you know, Arsenal just, as Josh points out, there's some, you know, really good form at the moment. Try and keep that up in the league.
Yeah.
And run into United and then, what is it, Wolves and Villa away. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
So I think I can't really suggest that he got it wrong.
Yeah, keeping up momentum, I think, in the league is so important. Anyway, we'll move on from that. But just looking on Twitter, I'm just looking at it, and I think it's very 50-50. It's very divided. But fans seem to be either one way or the other. Ricky Lawrence, regular guest on this show, and your mate Ricky Lawrence is infuriated with me. He thinks I'm talking rubbish. But others are defending me. Okay, but tonight,
no, quite
let's,
right.
Let's be positive.
Just one final thing. You've got to remember, why are we even in Europe at the moment, you know, for this? You know, because of the FA Cup. And you mentioned
we
could be 11th. Okay. We could be 11th in about, you know, a week's time again. And you know, how are we going to find a way to... It's not just about the fact we're 3-4 points away, is it? You know, it's about how many good teams there are above us, who I'm not sure we're definitely better than. I just thought the FA Cup, especially...
Well, at the moment, you know, West Ham are fourth, for fuck's sake. Hold on a minute. West Ham are fourth. We can go above West Ham, can't we?
Yeah, but loads capable. And you mentioned, okay, Southampton away, Wolves away. But then you also go, well, Man United and Liverpool are playing each other and cancelling out. So you've got probably one team you're scared of there, Man City in the draw. And we've shown that we can do it in a one-off in the last couple of years. So I don't know. I was just a bit sad. And I just... You know, Willian, I think we've all given up on, right? So to see him in that number 10 role, you've already not got Tierney. Now Saka's not playing. You know, Smith Rowe's been in great form, is not playing. Lacazette, you know, wasn't starting. There's not even a Bamiyang to come on. It just felt like there was a couple of players short from thinking that we could win the game, and we didn't create very much. So, yeah, we'll move on, but I was disappointed.
One more thing, actually, before we move. Jonathan Houseman, who's also one of our mates, says that apparently this year the FA Cup gives you the Conference Europe League, not the Europa. Is that right? Does anyone know if that's true? He says he's 90% sure of that. Does that mean the pre-qualifying of the Europa? Is that what that means?
What's that?
He says it's the FA Cup gives you the Conference Europe League, not the Europa.
I think you could be right, actually. It's what is it called? I should know because I think I'm working on it next year. it's the Europa Conference, is it?
Right. Which is like a... Okay.
Does the FA Cup only put you through to... No, hang on.
Okay.
The League Cup only gets...
Oh, the League Cup.
The FA Cup is still Europa League.
Okay, good knowledge.
The League
Thank
Cup is not a Europa League place. It's the Europa Conference if you win the League Cup, yeah.
All right, okay.
I mean, that is a competition where you'll be playing teams from the Faroes and Albania and Kazakhstan and so on.
Right,
I'm on Wikipedia, and that very much is correct, of course, as you'd expect from Dan. The EFL Cup winners for England will be placed into this competition. But there you go. Good to know.
Thursday nights, apparently. It's still going to be Thursdays.
Terrific.
And I think it may well be sort of early kickoffs. So you might be looking at some 2 or 4 people.
Wonder what channel is snapping up those rights.
Yeah. But of course, one more final photo. We are still in the Europa, of course. So, you know, it's not like we've got that.
Yeah, Benfica without a win in three, incidentally.
Right, there you go. For me, like, the path in the Europa might be easier than the path in the FA Cup. Who knows? Anyway, let's put that debate to one side and focus on the fact that tonight might have been one of the best performances of the season in terms of playing well in two halves of good football, I think. I know we went behind early on after, you know, we should have scored in, the first minute, Lacazette should have scored. So, but generally our play, I thought, was energetic, fluid, you know, all the young players, brilliant. I know Saka was man of the match. I thought Smith Rowe had another brilliant game. The revelation was Cedric, wasn't he, Dan? Cedric was a bit shit on Saturday, I thought. I mean, you know, out of position and kind of felt like he wasn't really used to putting in crosses from that side. But tonight he was amazing.
Yeah, he got forward in the FA Cup game early on and missed one sort of presentable opportunity to get a shot at least on target, didn't he, early?
Yeah.
But here and on his right side, but here, crossfield balls diagonally, and I think he got a second assist, if you believe in these things, for the Lacazette goal, because it was his crossfield ball that Saka took out. And he was excellent. I mean, he has played left back before for Southampton, for Inter on the odd occasion. And it's basically, who do you want as your backup to Kieran Tierney?
Yeah.
Is he obviously Kolasinac is now back in Germany at is he at Schalke now on loan? I think he's on loan. So is it Ainsley Maitland-Niles? Is he your backup? Is it Bukayo Saka, or is Saka now basically moved on? And is he basically a forward player from here on in, and he's not auxiliary left back or left wing back? So who do you want as your backup left sided defender? And it's potentially Cedric. It was a good performance, I thought.
Well, I think tonight he sealed the deal, didn't he? I mean, you know, I think he showed that he could, it maybe it was good that he did play on Saturday in that position and must have seen. I bet you can guarantee, can't you, that Arteta would have shown him where he went wrong, or you know, in that in his performance Saturday. And tonight he just like clearly learnt from that and just was a really proper good fullback performance. I think having a fullback playing in fullback is better, isn't it, than having?
Yeah, I like that. I mean, on Saturday, he was up against Carl Walker-Peters, who was the Southampton right-back. Today, up against Jan Valeri. Yeah. Valeri, who played last season, but this is his first Premier League start this season, which surprised me. He came through the Wren Academy, and I thought he looked good last season. He's been bombed out a bit this year, and I think he gets forward too much, and he leaves gaps at the back, and Cedric had a lot of joy. So it might have been different against a better fullback. He might have been pushed back a little bit more. There might have been something else to worry about. But I thought that, by and large, that was a massive tick in the right box. I thought he was excellent.
He was,
maybe not
he?
Man of the match. Saka probably took man of the match.
Yeah, Saka was official man of the match.
I think he got it.
He did. Yeah.
I mean, Bukayo Saka was just fantastic. I mean, he is a brilliant player. And we talk about auxiliary left backs. I mean, he could play anywhere, couldn't he, really?
Yeah.
He really could play anywhere. And I never thought I'd see him sort of, you know, right midfield of an attacking three, but crikey, he was brilliant tonight.
Yeah, and you have to give, I keep thinking this, in the bad period, as I keep referring to it as, when we had, what was it, 1-10 or whatever it was, horrific. Arteta putting him on that side, that was a brilliant, has proven to be a masterstroke, isn't it? Because he's managed to incorporate Saka on that side, switched him over. He's now an incredible, consistent threat every single game. He's winning man of the match. I think he's won man of the match in three of our last four games. And tonight, for example, he could play Pepe on the other side, and that worked as well. Pepe looked much...
I thought he was... I mean, he's played Europa League left-hand side.
Yeah.
And he's always played better. But against what opposition is it in the Europa League? If you play Boulder and Dundalk and that type of sort of quality, and whoever played last year, but you know, the point was made, I think, one or two tweets that we took to tonight, and were saying that he always wants to come inside on the right hand side. You know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Whereas the left, you know, sometimes he will go to the byline. He will do something different. You're not quite sure what he's going to do. He's less predictable, maybe, over on that left. I thought he was first 45 minutes excellent. You know, took his goal really well. Showed a bit of strength. Went on some good runs. And the price tag is the problem, isn't it, for Pepe? Because he's just expect 75 million every single time he goes onto the pitch.
And also, I think the problem's really been is the price tag. It's that you're right. He does. He's very predictable, isn't he, on the other side? He always does the same thing. He kind of cuts in, runs with dribbles, sometimes beats a player, cuts inside, and then launches that shot from long. Like for me, it's like, why don't you ever run a bit more in the penalty area? Well, it's a bit
take
weird.
Take it forward more. Be more.
Take it forward more. Right.
Yeah. Nigel Winterman was saying that. Get your head up. Take it forward more. You don't have to be static. You don't have to try and do the same thing. You don't have to look back. You know, be more positive. Be more ambitious on the ball. We saw that. He got in some advanced positions. Got in the box a bit more. Caused problems. I don't think he's going to start against United at the weekend, but I don't think he's the worst coming off the bench.
I mean, presumably if Aubameyang's back. Aubameyang's in this weird mystery
absence. I don't know at all what the situation is there.
No. We don't want to speculate either, but who knows? I don't think anyone really knows whether he'll be back on Saturday, so anything could happen there. Josh, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised particularly by Cedric, secondly by Pepe. And I just thought generally it was a very heartening performance.
It was, wasn't it? I mean, first minute, we should have been 1-0 up. I imagine that unless that was a minute that Dan's internet cut out, that he was up ready to celebrate with Nigel. I was like, wow, we're going to be 1-0 up. So it was so pleasing because I think we have been very poor when we've gone behind this season.
Yes.
Dan probably knows more about this, but I think it was actually only the home game against Southampton where we managed to get any league points back when we've gone behind. So to see us come back and within 5 minutes get the equaliser, and then actually, probably put in one of our better performances this season, was terrific. I thought Cedric on Saturday, it was getting a bit boring that he was constantly going down and cutting back and having to put the ball in with his right, and it looked like Carl Walker-Peters had the better of him for, you know, the vast majority of the game. And it was a complete turnaround today, you know, his performance. And Saka is just the most exciting talent to come from our academy since Wilshere, isn't he? And I noticed actually that, you know, he's up to 45 Premier League games Saka has now played, and he's he's nearer 19 than he is 20. It is amazing. And I think the interviewer on BT Sport made the point that he has more goals than all other teenagers in the Premier League combined. And, you know, we are incredibly fortunate to have him. And it just, you know, seems like he's an absolute one of the first names on the team sheet. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, when we talk about players that were left out on Saturday of the FA Cup game, we're talking about Saka and Smith Rowe as being two absolutely key people that we predict. Whereas you'd think in more normal times, this would be the sort of games where you are throwing them in and hoping they survive and thrive. So, yes, really encouraged by tonight, but so intrigued as to what, you know, the next few, you know, weeks are going to have in store. Mm-hmm. I'm just intrigued. But we're lucky also Lacazette has come back into form at a time where Aubameyang has been, you know, in slightly less impressive form and also now potentially out for a few games.
Lacazette's playing really well in this formation, I think, isn't he, Dan? Like, I think, I mean, he missed that chance in the first minute, which was annoying because he should have scored. But apart from that, I just think he'd link up play. And some of his passing tonight was brilliant. Like, in fact, he had an assist, didn't he, which was brilliantly timed little pass. I just think he's really important in this setup. And I think actually the whole 4-2-3-1 thing is helping Pepe a bit because he often doesn't get to play in that formation he was playing in, wasn't he? 4-3-3, and the emphasis was much more on him, I think, out wide. I just think I was kind of furious with Arteta for a period, but now I feel like he deserves a lot of acclaim for getting into this formation, which is much less predictable, isn't it? It's just the chalk and cheese, this lot, playing in this formation to the 4-3-3 situation we had in that period when Willian and those people were playing all the time.
Those people. Lacazette fell out of form, didn't he? I mean, he fell out of form. Yeah. But he's come back hungry. What I really like about him is that he seems to link up so well. I mean, that goal against West Brom with Smith Rowe, Lacazette and Saka was just sensational football. And he just links up so well. He's got 45 Premier League goals in 114 Premier League appearances, Lacazette. It's not quite 1 in 2.
That's pretty good, though, isn't it?
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd love someone to, because there's a constant comparison with him and Giroud. Now Giroud's everyone's favourite Arsenal striker of all time, suddenly. And I still prefer Lacazette. I'm sorry. I'm staying with that.
Yeah. Lacazette, I mean, he played with his back to goal an awful lot tonight, didn't he? But, he put his body on the line when he threw himself at the cross from Saka. I thought he had another good game. He seems to relish playing with the youngsters. He brings people into play. Yet he had a dip in form and Ketchy came in, didn't really quite work. I'm not saying that Eddie's done with just yet. You know, he can still contribute. But, you know, Laka, I thought he's been excellent recently. And you're right, he seems to fit with Smith Rowe buzzing around and Saka or Uber on right and left or whoever plays in those positions. It looks a good fit at the moment. It looks like Mikel Arteta's got it right.
Yeah. Joshua, what are you going to say?
I did just see that the Arsenal Twitter account put out something to the effect of, we are thinking of you, Oba. So we're not quite sure what the situation is. Yeah, thinking of you, Oba, the Arsenal tweet about 10:30 said. So, hopefully whatever the situation is not going to mean that we lose him for too much longer, but it can't be brilliant news, you suspect.
But I think on the plus side, I mean, whatever's happening with him, we wish him well and all that. But I think another big plus tonight was that, you know, we can work in this formation. We can work perfectly well without him. You know, brilliant as he is, brilliant. You know, we've got enough. And Martinelli didn't play. Martinelli didn't even come on. He was going
to
come on at one point. Weird. Yeah, that's right. That was, well, Pepe got booked. Poor Pepe. I
mean, he get booked in that because he was about to come off and then he came.
Yeah.
Again. I didn't even see
that. I mean, he was booked slowly for being too slow, but
he wasn't going off anyway.
He wasn't going off anyway. So really unlucky. That must be the unluckiest booking in recent football history. His best game for Arsenal for ages, scores a goal and then gets booked for walking going slowly.
Off, even though he's not meant to be going off.
Exactly. And didn't go off and didn't go, played 90 minutes, which is very rare. Yeah. What is going to happen? Should we take a quick break, Josh, and then I'll ask the big question of the moment. What is going to happen with Willian after this break?
The If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
And we're back from the break. We have to talk about William because, again, isn't it already the situation? Right, this is going to sound a bit harsh, but he seems so pointless to me right now, Rexy. Dan's shaking his head. But I just can't see what the point of having him right now in any team. I don't feel like now Arteta could pick him at all, you know, especially now the FA Cup's gone. I don't think in the Europa he can possibly pick him because it's going to seem really stupid and weird because he's been so pointless apart from that very first game he played. So the situation, what happens with him now? We can't sell him, can we, this quickly? We can't move him on. So we've got a kind of another lame duck. It feels like we've got just after the Ozil situation was sorted and, you know, he's officially gone and, you know, we wish him well and all that. But we've got another lame duck, hugely expensive player on a massive weekly wage who is old and he's unbelievably got another 2.5 years on his contract. It seems an extraordinary situation. I know, I'm not saying, Dan, asking you, Dan, to confirm that he's pointless, but it is a weird situation, isn't it?
On the day that Willian makes his 400th league appearance.
Wow.
Across Europe's top divisions, that's for Shakhtar, multiple title winner and cup winner and UEFA Cup winner, for Anji Makhachkala, where he was in Russian football briefly, and for Chelsea, where he was a title winner, an FA Cup winner and a Europa League winner, and for Arsenal, 400th league appearance tonight. You're throwing him under the bus. Three Premier League assists so far this season, which is a team high, along with Emile Smith Rowe, although many of them may well have been a few games ago. I thought he came on and looked busy. I'm not saying he's been a huge success because he hasn't. I could understand the signings. Sometimes you can understand the signings and they don't work out necessarily. But we'll see what happens. I thought he gave a bit of energy when he came on. I'm always going to defend everybody, obviously.
When you say you can understand the signing, at that age, for 3 years, for 200, well, and a reported 200-250k a week.
I don't know what the money's on. But what we've got is we've got three teenagers in Saka, in Smith Rowe, and in Martinelli. Oh no, I think Smith Rowe's 20 now, isn't he? He is. You could probably predict Saka. Martinelli was injured at the start of the season, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And Smith Rowe has sort of come from left field because he had the loan spell at Huddersfield last season. So if you wanted a bit more experience, we don't know what the situation was with Mesut Ozil exactly, but in the summer it looked like he's going to move at some stage. So if you just wanted to get some experience, why not? He came on a free. I don't know what the wages are exactly. It's not worked out. He's not playing every single game as we thought he might do after the game against Fulham. I don't know. That's the case for.
I guess I know.
I'm not going to jump in once mine with
that. No, but I can see. To be fair to you, I can see what you mean. There's a certain logic, I guess. Yeah, to if you. Because the Emile Smith Rowe thing's happened, wasn't it, almost by accident? That's often the great kind of, you know, discoveries of players and what they can contribute. Sometimes just happens by accident. But you could say, an experience. But the problem with getting an experienced player like him is he has to be instantly giving us something, doesn't he? Like, he played that first game and was perfectly good first game.
He would have thought he would do, you know.
Right. So, yeah, I think
Chelsea. It's not as if, like, you look at what he did last season and think, well, what on earth are we buying him for?
Sure.
You know, he was contributing to Chelsea last season. He's just not worked out as everyone thought it would do. Some things happen that way.
Yeah.
I made the same argument. Do you remember Sebastian Squillaci?
course.
Who wasn't a great either. But at the time, Arsenal needed an experienced centre-back, and I think it was either him or Mexes, and we were linked with Mexes every single year for about 20 years. Squillaci, French international, came, was pretty dreadful. But if you know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. A lot of the time, when you get these experienced players, they don't seem to work. I'm trying to think of one at any club that has, but if, you know, it's unfortunate. And
you can see, like, Cavani from Man U is working, isn't it? In the sense that he gives them something else. Like, I'm not saying he's amazing, but you can see that experienced forward who gives them another option and can come off the bench. Like, that seems to make sense to me.
Yeah, I suppose so at the moment.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, when you spent 72 million on Pepe and then you bring Willian in, kind of playing in his position. Josh, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, Squillaci was a French international, I think, at the time we signed him, at a time where France were quite a proper international force. So, you know, look, we've made a mistake here, I think, with Willian, and it feels like it's going to be an almighty turnaround to start seeing how he forces his way into the team. And it felt like Saturday was a huge opportunity in a sort of no-risk game to go play your way back into my team for the next league game, and it isn't happening at the moment. And I don't think there's any fans who are calling for him to be starting in our Premier League team. And the idea that we've got 2.5 years left on quite an expensive contract is a bit of a concern at the moment. But there's a player in there, isn't there? A great, talented player, and you just hope something clicks, and you know, maybe a little period out the side, and he comes back. But Boyd, we've done 35 minutes of this podcast, and given the amount of airtime that Mesut Ozil has been given in recent months, that he's finally gone and we haven't mentioned him is quite amazing. What are you going to say about it?
Well, to be honest, the reason we haven't mentioned it is because I thought he'd gone. I just assumed he'd gone when we were recording this podcast this time last week. I know he hadn't. I know he hadn't. Obviously, I'm aware he actually hadn't officially, but it did take a ridiculously long time. He was literally, like, you know, flying to Fenerbahce.
He was in the air for days
and posting loads of comments about Fenerbahce on Twitter for days. And then finally, it was confirmed, wasn't it? I mean, it was comical.
What did you make of his farewell letter? Did you?
I just thought it was. You know, I don't know. Do you know what? How can I word this? I think in the end, forget football, right? Forget the fact that for me he was obviously in decline and, you know, should never have been given his 350k a week contract ever. But I just think as a personality, I just think he was a bit petty and a bit self-justifying and a bit like, you know. I just felt generally very defensive, you know. I just thought his farewell comment, you know, I just kind of trying to say, oh yeah, we started winning things again because you brought me in, you know. It felt very, I don't know, I wasn't impressed, I have to say, you know. When a player is that allegedly brilliant, right, do they have to really justify their contribution like that? You know, just say goodbye, thanks to the fans, you know. It was like a self-aggrandizing thing. And if you're going to have a little account of your career at a club that you're just leaving, well, in that case, you know, be a bit more honest about it and go, but there, but in the end, you know, it was an absolute disaster, frankly. You know, I would have given him, can you imagine that? But just don't go into it.
It was funny. He said, "Was it?"
It's like lack of class. In the end, people, you know, people say about Mesut Ozil, his massive fanboy following, that he's this, like, you know, amazing guy, gives to charities, brilliant, blah 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 blah. He stood up for the Muslim in China, brilliant. But as a personality, I thought there's something slightly, I don't know. Slightly off.
Boyd, I'm just wondering, because, like, on this farewell message where he said, being with Arsenal for so long has meant I've experienced a big mix of ups and downs. Over 250 games, 44 goals and 71 assists later.
Brilliant.
But he doesn't sort of clarify that they've been declining at quite alarming rates.
One assist this season, you know. Go for it, Mesut. You know, give us the full stats. I just think very petty.
In my final campaign, I contributed.
But, you know, people go on about, who was it? People go on about Alexis Sanchez and what a twat he was, right? People were always, like, assuming that Mesut was the lovely, decent, you know, human side of Arsenal, and Alexis at the time when they're both in the team was this egomaniac, you know, who was selfish and everyone hated him. I don't know. I think it's all a bit, that narrative, I think maybe is, I think in the end, I preferred Alexis, to be honest. Anyway, I'm not, Dan, I'm not, Dan, what would you say in farewell to Mesut Ozil?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how he fits in at Fenerbahce. And I've just been looking at some numbers. So I don't actually really know anything about this player, but I'm going to sound like I do now, which is probably what I do most of the time. the player who plays in the sort of number 10 attacking midfield role for Fenerbahce is a Greek player who I've never heard of, Dimitris Pelkas, but he's having a very good season. 4 goals, uh-huh. 5 assists in 15 starts, seems to start every single game, plays just in behind the striker. So he's the man that's under pressure, but the man that's been doing well. So if Ozil comes in and does not hit the ground running at Fenerbahce,
wow,
interesting to see what happens.
You said 5 assists.
5 assists, 4 goals so in 15 appearances. So 9 goal contributions, as the stats people like to say.
Mesut has four assists in the league in the last 2 years, so he's got a hell of a going to have to improve quick.
My summary of him, I put on, I think on Instagram or something, I said, you know, he had some brilliant moments, lovely moments, loved many of his contributions, but in the end, didn't give us as much as Emile Smith Rowe. You know, that's my final verdict. You know, in the end, I mean, you know, right now,
You know, time will heal a little bit and he will be better remembered than it feels like it in the moment, and people will remember. You know, he's entitled, boy, to talk about the success that the club had, because he did join a club that hadn't won a trophy since, you know, 2005. And, you know, winning those FA Cups did feel like a bit of a turning point and prolonged the wonderful, great Arsene Wenger reign. So for that, I'll always be thankful for him. We've done some other transfer business, though, boy. I mean, I don't know what Dan makes of this. I was really intrigued, this signing of Matt Ryan from Brighton. I mean, how crap do they think Renarsson is? Like, how big a mistake have the club made with bringing in... Like, I can understand how you make mistakes because, you know, that player didn't quite work in the formation that we were going to play in the end this season. You don't really have that excuse with a goalie.
That's like, the problem with keepers, isn't it? It's like you can't play two keepers. So it's not like you can say, well, I've brought Willian in because he can play in different positions. You know,
firstly, you thought, well, it's obvious if they're signing him, he's not coming to be third choice at Arsenal. He must at least be going to second. But they were both on the bench on Saturday, which was an unusual one. But then tonight, Matt Ryan was.
Yeah, they're only on two on the bench at the weekend because Oba had travelled to St Mary's, I believe. And therefore, Matt Ryan was the 19th man? 20th man, whatever. He was in the squad but wasn't going to be named as a sub, but they thought they may as well name him as a sub because he was there.
But then tonight he was.
Yeah, Runnison's made some mistakes. He's only young. He's not got the experience. I quite like Matt Ryan. I don't exactly know what happened at Brighton because he got bombed out, didn't he? And I know that his stats weren't great, but I thought he was a decent keeper last season. And I think, I don't know this, but it sort of almost smacks as though maybe not this particular move, but a move was being sort of lined up because they, I can't remember the keeper who's come in at Brighton, but I thought Ryan's done all right. I think he's a good backup.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, to get we need you're obviously signing one to be the backup, so you're not going to get, you know, are you? I mean, it'd be rare to get a world-class, you know, goalkeeper.
The thing is when is he going to play?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Will he like still play him in the Europa League? I mean, we're not signing.
You won't play him now, would you? I don't think.
No, I don't think so. No, but you need cover if he gets injured. And clearly Renarsson was terrible, wasn't he? In that one game he played, he just had a terrible game, didn't he? And he looked
against Man City, I think, was a difficult night for him.
Yeah, and his stats are terrible, aren't they? So
this is a goalie that played every single game last year for Brighton. Yeah. He didn't miss a Premier League game. So there's got to be something in there which is a bit more stability. And presumably he has been assured of some football in the Europa League at least.
I think he would have been assured. I doubt it.
Yeah, I think he just comes back. He's only on loan, isn't he, with an option to buy. Is that right? Or is it a buy? I don't know.
I think it's a loan.
Talking of which...
Arteta was asked if it was, and he said he's unsure at the moment whether it will become a permanent transfer. Were you going to talk about some of the other ins and outs that we've had?
Well, I was talking about Odegaard. Yeah, Odegaard.
Or Socrates, I thought you might mention.
Socrates, sorry. I'm more excited. I mean, Socrates, yeah, I mean, that yeah, good luck to him. But Odegaard is genuinely excited. I think Odegaard is a really impressive bit of business. Josh is already, Josh, listeners, Josh is looking, I don't know, doubtful. But let me, hear me out. I'm not saying he's going to be a brilliant signing who's going to come in and play games and immediately be great. I'm saying in theory, when you're buying a player right now to take some of the pressure off Emile Smith Rowe, right? Mainly considering I think now Willian is consigned to the B team and not an A choice player. So you're buying a player to be backup to our attacking creative talent that we've discovered in the last, you know, couple of months. So you don't want to kill, so use that famous phrase, Emile Smith Rowe. It's the last thing you want. So you've got to bring in a player somehow that we need on the creative side who, you know, isn't going to cost you the earth because you've got Emile fucking Smith Rowe. And I think it really made sense to get a player on loan who is creative, you know, an attacking midfielder who can play probably in more than, you know, in a few positions in the front line. And if to ease up on Emile Smith Rowe to make sure he doesn't have to play every single game. Because at the moment, you're like, if Emile Smith Rowe isn't playing every game, then it's an absolute massive loss for the team. If Odegaard can come in and in a few weeks' time play the odd game and be perfectly decent as a creative player, then great, isn't it? That, so for me, it like makes total sense.
Potentially, yeah. I mean,
potentially. I mean, who knows?
I mean, do you know what? I know he's a little bit of a what's the computer game? Whatever the computer. Football Manager.
Football Manager.
Isn't he a darling in Football Manager? Fans, yeah. Odegaard, because he's been he made his debut when he was nine.
He's been playing since he was about 12. Yeah.
I don't know a lot about him. I obviously he went to Real Madrid, didn't work out. Played for Sociedad last season. Apparently, did a lot better. They wanted him back, but they've not used him, or Zidane hasn't used him that much. So I you know, it's different than a Squillaci or a Willian. You're getting someone who's a lot younger with an awful lot still to prove, I guess. I'm not even quite sure what type of player he is. An attacking, is he a Smith Rowe type player? He's 22, he's only 2 years older than Smith Rowe. He's been around for 15 years.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Yeah, I think he can play in those positions, but I think he is, like, you know, he does. That's partly one. He's one of those players, I think, where you're not necessarily entirely sure what his best position is. Like a lot of our, I think, you know, you could say the same for some of our youngsters, apart from Emile Smith Rowe, who is slotted into that position.
Comes with a lot of expectation, doesn't he? Because of
his history. But he's creative. I think the thing that everyone seems to be saying about Odegaard, he's had a lot of injuries, you know, but. You know, in theory, that's more creativity is what we need, isn't it? That's, you know, certainly 6 weeks ago, we were like, we need some fucking creativity from somewhere. And in the end, it came from Emile Smith Rowe mainly. It's now, I think, coming from particularly Saka, Emile Smith Rowe, you know, and others, and Tierney, you know, a creative force, you know, when he plays. So it's less desperate now, but still I think it can only be a good thing if he turns out to be anywhere near what his reputation is.
Yeah, one league assist in the last 12 months, I think, for Odegaard. Anyway, let's just move on.
He hasn't played much though, has he?
Well, this is last season at Sociedad as well. But yeah.
Okay.
I think potentially I would trust, you know, Arsenal with this one. I think
it's more
You know, if they've looked at him and thought he can make a difference and he can contribute for 6 months, maybe even more, then that's good enough for me.
Yeah. It's like, what else? My question is this: what else could we have done, you know, in terms of a signing in this transfer window as backup for our creative talent? I don't know.
Exactly.
It's difficult.
This is a good one, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could have got Kim Kjellström out of retirement.
as long as he takes
he's only 38.
Semi, that's fine.
Exactly. Maybe that's what that's what Odegaard's here for. Maybe there'll be a Europa League semi-final and a penalty shootout.
Broken back Kjellström. Broken back Kjellström.
No, look, it's great to have another body in, and very, very clearly the club are waiting until somebody's, you know, have got out, and they have. And at least Arsenal are being proactive in you know, who knows exactly what deal was struck with Ozil to get him off the wages for the last 6 months. And, you know, Kolasinac has gone out, and obviously Sokratis as well, you know. So the two players really who were the high-profile ones to miss out being in the Premier League squad, Ozil and Sokratis, at least the club, I guess, have had some half you know, getting half their money back on the season, so to speak. And, you know, that's better than nothing. You know, there seems to have been talk about Mustafi leaving the club, but that's sort of been rebuffed in the last day or two. It seems like he will be sticking out the season.
I don't know why they're rebuffing that. It'd be great. He'd be the first
You don't know which way. I mean, you know, maybe you get to a point where, you know, with Ozil, obviously, it was a very long, drawn-out process. Socrates, presumably a bit quicker. He's gone back to play in Greece. Maybe Mustafi has just gone, do you know what, if I don't play again and I need to find a club in the summer, then, you know, so be it.
Yeah, I just think generally, I'm not, you know, this is sounding like I'm, you know, I'm delighted with everything we're doing. But to me, this transfer window so far makes sense. Like, it feels like they're going out of their way to get expensive older players off the books, you know, as you just said, and we've done that, you know, we've got some of them, particularly Ozil. I don't think many of us were expecting, if you think about it, I don't think many of us were expecting them to actually be able to get rid of Ozil in this transfer window. A lot of people were saying,
I agree. I think it's been good business. I mean, Mikel Arteta wants the squad that he wants. It's hard, isn't it? You know, you can't just say, well, they shouldn't have put him on various contracts. That's what happened. Mikel Arteta's had to deal with it. It takes a bit of time. Whatever you've got to do to get people away and off your squad, he seems to have done it. It feels like like a good January. And if Odegaard comes as well and just provides a bit of spark, then all the better for that as well.
Yeah. You know, we should say, by the way, that Odegaard hasn't officially signed as we're doing this podcast now. But, apparently, I think he's had his medical today. He's been in London, and I think they're probably making the video. They're editing the video, welcoming video as we speak. So I think it's going to be announced tomorrow, by all accounts. And just to say, he is known as the Norwegian Messi. And and Pep Guardiola vowed to make him the world's best player. I mean, I don't know if he says that to every player that he has in front of him, but those are the famous things that people... And... Guillem Balague did a video about him the other day on Twitter, which was saying potentially he's really good. So I'm not saying he could easily be the next like a Willian, you know, like a 22-year-old Willian type of situation. But for me, what I'm talking about is the strategically. I feel like finally, you know, because strategically we've been an absolute nightmare, haven't we? For years, like what has been our strategy in terms of acquisitions and getting and all that. Whereas for me, this transfer window at least just makes perfectly decent sense. Whether or not that, you know, he works out, who the fuck knows? But I'm at least pleased that we're trying to get some creativity in, and it's not going to kill Emile Smith Rowe, which can only be a good thing.
We've got to look ahead to the game at Manchester United Saturday, 5:30.
Huge, massive, huge game for us. Do you think, Dan, that Man United are... Is this run that they're on, is it a proper run showing they're capable of actually winning the league? Or is it kind of like, you know, they haven't played that many amazing teams? I mean, they played Liverpool a couple of times, but... Do you think, you know? I think we can beat them. That's what I'm saying.
I think you're right. I'm just looking at some of the results now, because they haven't beaten the big teams. I know they beat Liverpool in the FA Cup last time.
Yeah,
but in terms of league play, have they beaten a top six?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they have.
No.
So I think the jury's still out. What they seem to have done though is they've found. I mean, Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
you know,
that's one of the best signings, isn't it, for years.
Such a catalyst. And Solskjaer is seemingly now getting the best out of Pogba as well. And whatever you think about Maguire, you know, he seems to be doing it as well. I mean, and there's less mistakes from De Gea. But I watched a bit of the FA Cup game. They still look vulnerable at the back. I mean, Luke Shaw's having a better season, isn't he, I think?
Yeah.
Wan-Bissaka maybe not so much on the other side. I mean, United have always had really good players, but over the last few years, their squad has underachieved, and maybe it's just a time. What's going to be interesting, and I've just thought about this because I watched that game at the weekend and they were suggesting who would play against, the 0-0 against them. Who's going to play in that game? And I think the pundits were saying it'll be Fred and McTominay as the two midfield sort of enforcers or shield, if you like. And if Solskjaer plays that, I think that'll be a real compliment to Arsenal and Arteta, because I think it'll believe that Solskjaer just want to come and just try and get a point. And be happy with that, and hope that maybe Fernandes can do something, Rashford can do something, Pogba can maybe create something. But I think he will do that as well. I think Solskjaer will be mindful of the way that Arsenal are playing at the moment. I think they'll be defensive. I don't think they're anything like as good as they used to be years ago under Ferguson when... are they genuine title challenges? Yes, they are, simply because everyone seems to be beating everyone else. Although City look good, don't they, at the moment, I guess.
I think
there's a little bit of a little asterisk by their run, simply because they haven't been beaten. And they're out of the Champions League. Are they in the Europa League? Yes, they are.
They're in the Europa League. I think we can beat them. I mean, we did beat them away, a few months ago.
You talked about good, you know, best performances of the season. And although it was a very different performance, Arsenal did a job that day. And the game against Chelsea at home, I think, and whatever you think about Chelsea, like United, they've got a lot of really good players. And who knows what they're going to be like under Tuchel.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm furious that they've got rid of Lampard. I think, you know, I mean, that was a... Chelsea were on a decline, on a good decline under him. And I think Tuchel is potentially a really good signing.
I think Arsenal on Saturday... It's Saturday tea time, isn't it? I think if Arsenal play as they did today, big chances of winning. And it'd be a great win.
Yeah, it'd be huge, wouldn't it?
I think United will come and defend, and it might end up being a draw. But of the two to win it, I'd take Arsenal to win.
I mean, it'd be unbelievable to take, you know, 6 points off Manchester United in the season we've done. I presume, am I right, with the last time we would have done that being, what, 2006-07, that year where we won 1-0 up there at Adebayor? Was it who got the goal? I think we then beat them at home.
Yeah.
In the season. So, you know, we're talking 14 years since taking 6 points off Man United in the league. And
yeah, that was a 2-1, wasn't it, at home, I think, quite early on in the year.
Yeah, I think it was. So, you know, a huge opportunity. I mean, if we can, you know, look, you know what I've said before about being a bit dubious on our bid for European football from a league position in terms of top six. You have to change your tune if we can sort of go away to Southampton, beat United, and go and get a result at Wolves. Even if we take probably 4 points from these two coming up,
and then it's Villa away after that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, avoid defeat in this little run, and you have newfound respect. But because of all these teams around us, we are going to have to go and win games like this if we are going to make it. So. A huge opportunity, but the confidence, as you say, from the league form is, you know, must be huge. I mean, this is as good as Arsenal have had it in a very long time.
And
so,
don't all the players look like they're really enjoying it as well?
Yeah, which is one transformation. It's a transformation.
You see them coming off the pitch.
But hang on.
Smith Rowe and Saka and Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who's not kicked a ball, coming and jumping all over and whatever. Yeah. There's a real togetherness there.
But you know, you look at some of the players, you know, Guendouzi, you know, gone, you know, to Torreira, Ozil, Socrates, you know, there's, I don't know, you sense that the players that are around and playing are players that maybe aren't causing issues or divisions, and there is a bit more sort of unity,
which he said
in the squad.
Which Arteta made quite clear was one of the reasons why, you know, the non-negotiables was players that were a bit difficult, you know, and I think whatever you think of him, Guendouzi, you know, was a bit like that, wasn't he? There was a brilliant rumor, wasn't there? Did you see the rumor that we were going to be swapping him for Julian Draxler, who I think we've been linked with Draxler for about the last 10 years? Yeah,
he's coming in with Philip Mexis. We're really excited about the double swoop.
Who was the Ajax fullback? Was it Trabelsi going back a few
years? Yeah, there are certain players, aren't there, we're linked with for about 10 years.
Yeah.
And sometimes we never get them. I'd love to see Draxler Arsenal. At his height, he was fucking amazing.
German.
He's not been getting that much game time at Paris Saint-Germain last couple of years.
No. Bring him in. What's your prediction, Dan, for the game against Man United? Score prediction.
I will go for... I think it's going to be a different game tonight, but I think it might be a 2-1 Arsenal win. Don't see Arsenal losing. I don't see that. Mm. I don't see Arsenal losing. I'll go 2-1 Arsenal.
I'd say 1-1 Bordeaux.
I'm going to go 2-2, 2-2. I think...
Yeah.
I'll be gutted if we lose that game. So, but I think, you know, I'm going to have the final justification of the FA Cup team selection, because I just think winning tonight was so key to give us the confidence and to keep this run going for
United
that game.
United play tomorrow as well, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, United play tomorrow, so we've got a day of recovery, a day extra of recovery. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think, it's incredibly exciting, isn't it? It could not be more exciting that we're playing Man United at home.
We've got this, again, I mean, this non-stop run of sort of two games in the space of a few days finally ends after next week. We have a little breather, but it's Wolves on the Tuesday, 6 o'clock on the 2nd week today.
Are we going to have another podcast before then?
No, I think we'll do one in this manner straight after.
So we should predict Wolves as well. Oh, God. Putting us through the mill.
Well, no, Wolves are not in fine fettle at the moment. So I think if we, you know, at the moment, the way they've been playing, I'd be backing us to go and win at Wolves. I wouldn't, wouldn't you, Boyd, or are you not feeling that way?
I think they'll give us, they're still tough, aren't they? They're still a tough team to.
Are they in the worst four? I mean, barely
they were beaten by West Brom.
Oh, God, all right. Yeah, you put that into perspective.
In their last league.
And they beat Chorley 1-0.
Yeah, they play Chelsea tomorrow, then they play Crystal Palace.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Actually, I might be wrong. I just feel like they haven't won since they beat Chelsea back in December.
They're on a terrible run, you're right.
Yeah, that's their last league win, which was 15th December.
Yeah, yeah. We're 8 points ahead of them, actually, which is surprising to me. I didn't even realise that. So, yeah, we should beat them, shouldn't we? Let's face it, yeah. So, okay, bearing that in mind, I'll say 3-1. Dan?
Yeah, I was going to say something like 3-1. Yeah. I'll go 3-0.
Okay. And Josh?
2-1.
Yeah.
2-1.
2-1. Once again, the prediction section of the podcast has proved to be dazzlingly entertaining. I think we'll all agree. I think we're all agreed on that, aren't we, Dan?
That's hugely.
Dan, thanks so much.
There was someone on Twitter
go on.
There was someone on Twitter that had done a table of how you had in this. But it's a little bit invalid because I missed the podcast and that hadn't really been given a par score. It should have both just been voided, I think.
Really?
But either way, thank you very, very much for doing the table. Do you have it up there, boys?
How many have you got right this year?
Oh, I mean, hardly any. It's been pathetic, really. A is for Arsenal. Is the excellent tweeter who has done this table for us. What am I on? Correct outcome, as in, you know, whether we win, lose or draw. 53% I'm on. Josh is on a mere 51%.
Why are you making that up? I'm on exactly the same.
Oh, no, you're on
I'm
the
on
same.
Eight
sorry.
Out of 15.
No, I was
you're
sorry.
On you're 9 out of 17.
You're on this.
Nonsense.
I misread right. it. I'm sorry. I that was an honest
convenient.
Mistake. But I am on correct score. I'm on 12%. And you're on a mere 7%. Although, to be fair to you,
well, 1 out of 15, 2 out of 17.
2 out of 17. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're not going to win any. We're not going to win any awards for this, but
no, we're not.
But the mere fact.
But thank you to Dan.
The mere fact that someone makes this table for us justifies the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned. Dan, you're a hero for staying up to which is now 11:30 p.m. And you've been talking about this ruddy Arsenal game for the last like 4 hours, probably.
I have, but you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's lockdown. Don't only get to speak to the missus and the dog, so you know, I'm quite happy to, you know.
The poor dog's probably missing you.
Dry January as well. There's not a lot going on in my house.
Fair enough. Thanks anyway. Thanks so much for joining us. And Josh, thanks very much. And good luck. I hope the baby doesn't shit too much more on the carpet.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Should that be the title of the podcast? No.
Absolutely.
Baby. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. And we'll see you next week. Cheers. Bye.
This is a Playback Media production. To listen to all our football podcasts, visit playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.